All right. Again, thank you for coming. Welcome. It's good to have you here. And I want to bless you, bless each one of them, bless each one of you for being here this morning. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can trust you, we can believe in you. And I'm convinced that you're able because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, I pray that this morning. Father, in the boxes of our minds, Father, I'm asking this morning that you would speak and that we could learn a lot more than we even imagined this morning. Not only could we learn, but we could experience you in ways that we've never imagined this morning. And so, Lord, I pray an anointing, a blessing, an empowerment of your Holy Spirit, Father, on this time. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Help us to learn. And I pray an anointing on Brother Steve as he shares. Father, that the things that are on your heart could be spoken. And Lord, as we listen, I pray that each one of us on our journeys, right where we're at, we could hear from you this morning. So I pray a blessing on this time. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Steve.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Am I on? What I want to share this morning, I think it came out of the other Sunday, David and Amanda, you invited me over to your house, and I discovered something about myself. I have so much locked up within me, I need someone to help me unlock it, and they were helping me unlock what's pieces of what's within me, and I see I need other people to help me, because for me to express what's inside of me, I will admit it's sometimes a struggle. So where I operate the best is in dialogue back and forth. I feel I can bring it out better. But if you want to bring it out of me, you're going to have to ask questions, because I'm not sure why, but I have a hard time just putting it out what's inside of me. So if you want to know what's in there, you got to ask questions. But what I want to share today is a worldview. And in the process of life, I'm seeing there's two major worldviews. There's the Christianity and there's a kingdom. The worldviews, I'm not going to say they're opposed to each other, but I will say they're vastly different. And I'm going to give my own journey in this. I don't know the exact years. It was right around 2012, 2013, not sure when. But I was given a CD from John D. Martin about the kingdom of God. And it started impacting me as I was listening to it. And then I was at a prayer meeting, and they go, "You need to listen to Miles Monroe on the kingdom of God." He said, "Just go to YouTube, Google Miles Monroe, the kingdom of God." So I did that. My worldview was radically changed at that moment. Switching from a Christianity worldview that I knew of to a kingdom worldview. And it has stayed with me ever since. And has totally changed the set of glasses that I wear, how I interpret life as. What I'm discovering is we all have a set of glasses that we wear that we interpret life experiences out of. And I use the word Christianity because that's the term that I was used to. And it was a type of glasses I was wearing till I started processing from a kingdom perspective. And when I started looking at, you know, why did God create the world? Now, this is kind of my interpretation of it. But when I look at heaven, there's something I noticed there that is different than on earth. On heaven, it doesn't appear like you have choice. Or look, when you look at when Satan fell, he did choose, but there was no redemption found for the angels that messed up. I don't find it in Scripture. Satan messed up. a third of his angels went with him. And according to scripture, they were thrown out of heaven. And there was no method of repentance made for the angels. But for us people, it was different. There was written a way back to God if we mess up. But when I look at heaven, that ability to choose is different than it is here on earth. And when I look at the way we view Christianity, I really think our world around us has affected our view. In America here, we live off of we the people. In our Constitution, it talks about we the people. It was actually a reaction against a kingdom mindset. The America was born out of revolt from a kingdom. And they want to say, we don't want a king to rule over us. We the people are going to rule. And it feels like that mindset has affected church also. For example, a lot of people, you vote. And whatever's majority, that's what carries. In a kingdom, you don't vote. What the king says is how it is. It's in America here, everywhere you go, it's done by voting. Your school boards, your public school boards, your townships, in all types of public offices, everywhere, it's all based on the majority vote. The majority wins. That's what makes the rule of the land. In a kingdom, it is totally different. The king declares it. It becomes a law of the land. And I feel it has affected the way we look at life is by just simply the environment we're a part of. The kingdom, and when, let me back up a little bit. And when I see what God did, it appears to me that what he did was, in heaven, it was, this is his realm. But he wanted to make a place where people can choose him. We do not understand the beauty of love. I don't believe we can understand love if choice is not in the process. Choice is what makes love so powerful. And here, I believe that was the purpose of making the world, is that we individuals can choose to either love God or reject God. And I got some of these thoughts from Miles Monroe. I was listening to him. But the Bahamas, at one time, was an extension. Let me back up. Bahamas is where Miles Monroe lived. Well, he did live. He was killed in 2014 in a plane accident. And at that time, now the Bahamas is a democracy. But at one time, it was an extension from England. And what England did is they sent people to the Bahamas to train them the way of England, to bring their tradition, to bring their language, the way of life to reflect England, not their home country. And when I started recognizing that, that's exactly what God is longing for us to do, is that we take his kingdom, bring it to the next nation, to another nation, which is here on earth, and to represent his ways here on earth. And we can choose here to vote, but that does not change the way the king operates. It does not change his degrees. It does not change his desires. It doesn't change it. In that journey, I started processing some verses, and I want to share some of those verses now. This was one of them that really I struggled with this verse here. In Luke 4:43, it says, but he said to them, this is Jesus talking to the people he was ministering to, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Now that verse totally defied my theology of the reason Jesus came to this earth. Because when God made the world, I see he wanted to do it, and I didn't even messed up. And then when Jesus died, he was reintroducing the concept of the kingdom of God, where we can bring God's presence here on earth. And this is one of the main purposes that he had to bring out, that he was teaching when he was on this earth. And when I started seeing that, my perspective always was that Jesus came to die for my sins. Christianity as a whole is all centered around me. I became a Christian. Now, this is my journey. I became a Christian because I did not want to go to hell. I am glad I chose God, but that is not a correct purpose. I did it out of fear. I did it for my own purpose. But when I read this verse here, I was like, I thought Jesus came to set me free. I thought he came to die for my sins. And here's saying that the purpose he was sent was to talk about the kingdom of God. That took a long time for me to process that verse, because it was just like, it doesn't fit what I thought Jesus came to earth for. And then I read this verse, John 17:4. This is talking about Jesus again. I have glorified you, talking about God, on this earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, this is written in John 17 before Jesus died. And Jesus is saying, I'm finished. I did what you sent me to do. And to me, was the reason he was sent on this earth was to die for my sins. Again, this was playing with my theology. What do I do with this verse? So I began seeing that I am not processing everything in Scripture correctly. Well, let me put a disclaimer in there. I'm still learning these things. I'm still not finished. But I started to see here that one of the main purposes for Jesus to come was to introduce that you can actually bring God's rule, how he does it in heaven, we can bring it to earth. And I believe that was one of the main messages that Jesus had. When you go throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, now John is different, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, over and over again, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Read the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. What he was trying to do is get them to understand how it's done in the kingdom of heaven. And now what you do, you go and you do it on this earth. When you look at marriage, you're bringing a part of the kingdom of heaven on this earth when you do it the way it's instructed in the Bible. I'll give you some more verses that really affected me. This one here greatly affected me. Is in Matthew 6:9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That verse 10 is the one that greatly affected me. Your kingdom come, this is talking about talking to God. Your kingdom come, which is in heaven. Your will be done on earth. So what God's cry is that we illustrate the way he does it in heaven, here on earth. That's his cry. And that there has become my life? How can I be instrumental in bringing His kingdom to earth? It's probably it's what I process the mostly. As I interact in business, and I interact with individuals, as I go throughout my life, that there's the thing that's a foremost in my mind, is how can I, in this situation, bring the West done in heaven here on earth? That's what I believe we're doing when we can do that, is we're bringing God's kingdom here. These verses also spoke to me. This is in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And I want you to see some of these small words in here that really, really make a big difference. "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see." So what I see here in this verse is being born again is not the entrance into be a part of God's kingdom on this earth. What I see here is once you're born again, then you can start to understand, you can recognize it, but it's not the entrance of. Then in two verses later, he tells us, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And when I take this verse for exactly for what it says, the first step is we got to be born again. Once that happens, you must be born of the water. To me, born of the water is the water baptism. I'm not sure. I heard different things, but nothing connects with me like it's water baptism, and born of the Spirit is Holy Spirit baptism. That's what I connect in that verse. Once you're there, then you can enter. And just again, taking the words for exactly for what it says, it does not appear to me that even if you're born of the water, and even if you are born of the Spirit, does that even guarantee you can enter, that you're automatically in it. But once you do this, now you can enter. That's what I see that verse saying. And what I see, to be a part of the kingdom of God, once I entered, is to realize that what God says, that finishes it. Us dialoguing about it, coming to a conclusion. Now, there's some parts that we're not sure how to maybe walk out. But when we see something clearly, or let me back up. There is one thought that I like to come against, and that is the Holy Spirit never convicted me of this. And it's something in Scripture, and they say, the Holy Spirit never spoke to me about this. Well, actually, He doesn't need to. The Holy Spirit does not need to show us to do something if it's in the written word. To me, the written word is the way to do things so that we can bring heaven to earth. So if we got to debate whether that's for our time or not, that to me is off base already. If it's there, if it's written, it's done. So to start debating whether it's for our time or not, I believe we're missing it already. Because the king said it. So that's kind of the end of the discussion. Because in democracy, we debate it, and whatever the majority rules, then that's the rule. That's not how it is in a kingdom. In the kingdom, when the king says it, it's over. I believe we need to look at the Word of God like that. If we care about being a part of God's kingdom here on this earth, And we want to be instrumental to do that. The best way is to simply live out the scripture. That's the beginning. And that's why I struggle so much when people cannot even do the basics. To me, this is the start of walking out the kingdom of God on this earth. I believe as you go, the Holy Spirit will give you more direction and further. I don't believe it goes against the word of God. But there's more direction given. But I don't see direction given if we can't embrace the basics that's in the word of God. What I want to do next is I want to give two different worldviews. One is kingdom and one is a Christian worldview. And I'm only putting this out to stimulate your thoughts. This is not an exhaustive list. But as I interact with different people and I hear different worldviews come out all the time, we all speak out of our worldviews. I'm seeing this continuously at the different realms I'm involved in. It's the kingdom of heaven versus Christianity. Earth is an extension of heaven. Looking forward to the day to go home. That's one of the big things I see. In Christianity is, how can I make a difference here? The other one is, hang on, be faithful till you get to go home. Let's take territory for the kingdom of God, scared of spiritual warfare. Excited to expose deception, fear of deception. Fear of deception is very prevalent in our culture. I do not feel we need to be fear of deception. I keep relating back to the point of how good God is. What adult that is a good adult will intentionally lead someone they're leading into utter destruction? It will not happen. There's no parent here that you will intentionally lead your child into something that will destroy their life. If we are open before God and totally honest, we do not need to fear deception, because the Holy Spirit will open your eyes somewhere along the line before you go down the wrong path. I'm convinced of that. And I've come across a lot of individuals that one of their biggest fears is being deceived. I do not see that with a good father. I just don't see it. Recognizing the Bible gives us ways to bring heaven on earth. Tries to do as little as possible and still be a Christian. I see this all over the place. It's very easy to go into the Word of God and to look how much you can get away with. Rather than going into the Word of God and looking how can I best embrace this principle. One thing that the Word of God does not do is give us exactly how to do it. It gives us principles. And therefore, there's going to be a variety of our interpretations. But is our mindset to embrace it, or is our mindset to look how little we can do and still be a Christian? In the kingdom of heaven, it is about the king. In Christianity, it's about me. I've been involved in missions because I enjoy it. I became born again, so I don't need to go to hell. I am following God because it gives me peace, joy, and happiness. And if you start going down the list, there's a long, long list that it's all about me. We need to switch that. And to do it because of the King. Our love for the King motivates us to live out life. Not what I get out of, but how can I serve the King the best? We declare our values, or we devalue our values. I see this quite often too. No, that's not who I am. I believe we need to declare out. Once we understand who we are, we need to speak it out. We do not need to be ashamed of who God made us to be. God commissioned us to do the work. We depend on God to do the work. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. In Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Abundance, there's enough for everyone. Preservation, I need to protect everything I have. Again, these are just worldviews that I see coming out of people I interact with, different people I interact with. And the more I process this, the more vastly I see it happen around me. We understand our authority. We shrink from our authority. As we grow in Christ, our authority increases. Let's not shrink from it. Realizes the impact of one's words, uses words carelessly. Lives above sin, lives under sin. Lives in freedom, lives in bondage. Recognizes the importance of the team, prefers life between God and me. I feel this is a big one also. Holy Spirit didn't show me, so kind of back off. In the kingdom, it's when I look at how God set up the world, the church, it's about group, not individual. Now, we do need an individual walk with the Lord, but group is a big part of it, huge. Wants team input, resists input from others. Embraces God's principles, resists God's principles. Embraces structure, resists structure. I'm still not sure what to do with this, but when I look at the kingdom of God, I see structure all over the place. There's a way to do it. And I'm not sure how to bring that into everyday life, but I see the kingdom of God, I see structure all over the place. Being a part of a structured system, we tend to resist structure. But when I look at kingdom of God, I see structure. Embraces brokenness, resists brokenness. Looks for a test, runs from a test. Walks in boldness, lives in fear. Runs into the battle, fears the battle. Lives as an overcomer, lives in deceit and defeat. Takes responsibility, blames others. That's all I have. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Bring it up. Get a mic and speak that in the mic so someone, if someone is listening, they need to hear you. No, you're onto something. Speak it.
All right. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. All right, what did I just say? Oh, about the whole us being the light of the world,
yes.
Or Jesus. And I'm just reading from...
Is it Matthew 5?
No, John chapter 8.
Okay.
John chapter 8. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, and he's talking about himself, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to light. So it makes very clear where, what is that light?
Okay.
Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, we'll have that light and we won't have to walk in darkness, it says, because you will have that light. But who is the light of the world? Jesus is.
This is the reason I like doing this publicly, what I am doing right here. So that when I have people like Jason in the crowd, he tests me. I appreciate that, Jason. Thank you. Read it out.
All right. You are the soul of the earth. It's talking about us being a soul. But what good is a soul if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out. It's not talking about the light of the world. It's talking about our good deeds being the light. It's two different things.
I appreciate your input.
Look at the end of the where it goes.
No, I appreciate your input. And that is why I like doing this in groups, because it helps me out. So I thank you for that. Anyone else have something? Speaking to them. Is there anyone listening? Okay.
When Jesus came to the earth, he came in a time when the world was very, very dark, right? And so he was the sole light of the world when he came. Like, there was no light hardly in the world. I mean, there was a few prophets and people that believed, but there weren't very many believers, right? But then when he left, he gave us access to the Holy Spirit. And so because of the Holy Spirit, we have access to that light that he gave. He started it. He is the light of the world. Amen. But I think that there's a transfer of light that happens when we receive that. When we receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts and we become filled with the Spirit, that gives us access to that light. And so therefore we are the light of the world too. So I think it's both true, obviously, because I mean, there's two scriptures, but yeah, I agree with you, Jason. Jesus is the one that brought that light and he started it.
What I'm trying to bring out is I am not declaring that we are light of ourselves. And I thank you for bringing that out, just for clarification. We are not light of ourselves. But to sit back and say, I don't represent that light, or I'm not a part of this now, I believe is wrong. I recognize that Jesus is the ultimate light, and the only reason, the only light I have is because of him. But I don't want to shrink away from my responsibility to be that light. Does that sound better? Okay, thank you, Jason, for bringing that up. Anyone else?
I might have missed something because I have two little kids, so I'm sorry if you're going to have to repeat something. But why do you have, like, Christianity as the negative? I mean, I agree in general with the positives and the negatives. But, like, I feel like Christianity is a good thing. I mean, Christian means a little Christ, and
what
following him, so I didn't know why you made that negative.
Okay. What I'm trying to process in my own journey is I am realizing as I interact with different individuals that I'm seeing two concepts, two worldviews come out. One is a Christian worldview. But then when I interact with someone with a kingdom worldview, they process life differently. And it's vastly different. And I'm amazed Like, for instance, I was with one group one time, and spiritual warfare all of a sudden showed up. Literally, one group ran out, and the other group ran too. I mean, it happened literally in front of my eyes. And one was under the teaching of the loving God. One was under the teaching of warfare. And when it was put under the test, I was amazed at the reaction. Because this was not planned. It just all of a sudden happened just like that. And the response was vastly different. Can someone hand Jason the mic? Does that answer your question? Not really. We should.
I don't feel like it should be separate.
It should, but what I'm finding, it don't. Like, for example, in John 5, it says, when you're born again, you see the kingdom of God. Taking that verse for exactly what it says in the context that it reads, that I understand it to be, it's not guaranteed that you're going to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I do see a person saved, but I don't see them under that control.
All right. Hopefully I can explain this, kind of what I've been thinking about or studying into for the past probably year and a half. But what you're talking about this morning, I actually agree with the mindset. And I'm explaining a little different way, so maybe it makes different sense to some people. But if you look at creation and what God placed in the garden right at the beginning, because I believe the foundation of everything is going to go back to creation if you look
That's
at
right.
it.
That's right. I agree with you.
When that was broken, what he set in place right there is restored when Jesus came back
That's
to
right.
earth.
That's right.
And if you want to call it the kingdom of heaven, if you want to call it that we were placed here to take care of the earth, whatever you want to call it, it's not so much what it's called, but it's the mindset that things are now restored. And so there is one other.
Can I insert something right there? They're restored. Everything is in place.
I believe it's already restored.
In the heavenlies, in God's, but not on earth. What I mean is, everything is in place to bring God's presence here. But if we don't walk it out, it won't be demonstrated here.
But it's already here.
But it's only here. Speak that into Mike.
I said it's already here.
It's already here, but it's not demonstrated unless we walk it.
That's correct, yeah.
That's the message I want to bring out. I want to see the demonstration of the kingdom of God here on earth. I fully believe we can.
Is that coming back to what we're talking about this morning, Sunday school about
navy and planning? Again, it relates in from... Because what I try to do is, when I see different verses that I don't see amplified around me, I try to understand it. And that's where my conclusion came, where there's verses that say, whatever you agree on earth, it will be done. I mean, there's not a question in those verses. And then I go, I see all these prayers for all these years, and nothing changes. The only thing I could come up with, and I might change later, but it's that the maturity level is so low that those verses are meant for the mature, not for the babes in Christ. I could be wrong, but that was my process, that as you mature and the Holy Spirit is working your life and you see something and you're grieved because you know the Holy Spirit's not pleased, you know it immediately, you declare out what he wants. And it happens. I have witnessed that many, many times. Many times. Okay. When I put up there a kingdom of heaven, Christianity, I am only trying to process the world around me and put it in the two different categories. I fully realize that Christianity and the kingdom of God is one and the same. But the Christianity that I see lived out today, this is what I see almost everywhere. You have a very good point.
It's just the word, as you just said, they're both one. So if you would change that to a baby Christian or something like that, because what you're doing is a lifestyle and of someone's mental state. And to be able to live like what your God has a kingdom of having, you have to the person needs to be living within that fire, that spirit needs to be alive. The other one, as you think about this, that just reminds me of someone that's either a beginner in the Christian walk or a person that is a lukewarm type.
Okay, I appreciate your input, Eduardo. You have a lot of things. The only reason I think I pick Christianity is because I have witnessed a lot of people declare that they're Christians and that's the method they live. And there could be better terms. We could either put it in their baby Christian. I would not have anything against that.
Christianity today has become a religion, and some places a dead religion where there's nothing there. Basically, it's a punch card where you got your heaven card punched down. I'm going to heaven, but there's no life or living the kingdom of heaven. That's why I really see the comparison between the kingdom of heaven and Christianity as a whole is a big difference. We're talking about a real, live, vibrant Christianity where people are Christians, yes, but they're living for the kingdom of heaven. It's not a punch card Christianity. It's not just, oh, okay, I'm going to heaven now Christianity. It's a lifestyle. It's seeing the kingdom, God's kingdom here on earth lived out, not just that I'm going to church once a Sunday, I'm going to heaven Christianity.
That is correct. Thank you for that, Dave. That helps bring out some of my thoughts. Anyone else have something? Okay, Dale, or go ahead.
Something that I was about after Sunday school that I'm not sure if I can quite get my words out, but how I want to explain it. But oftentimes, kind of in the book that I was going off of this morning, a lot of times when a Christian... even like in our prayer life and stuff like that, we look at it and we're like, why isn't God answering my question, my prayers right now, immediately? And I feel like when you're part of the kingdom of God, as in anything else in life, God is answering our prayers, but it's also a walk that we need to walk out in order to make it happen. And when you're working within the kingdom of God, you see those things happen, and it brings life, and it's not just like it. Our Christian mentality right now is like, right now it needs to happen right now, and I don't think that's even how God works. It was just something that I was thinking about, not necessarily anything that you have up there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Steve, for leading that and for sharing and for your discussions and input. And I want to bless you as you take what you heard this morning and apply it, keep seeking the Father, and learning the things that he wants you to learn. Not only just learning, but also implementing, walking out. Steve used the word walking out. I think that's very good words of us. You know, not only